Daily Calgary Flames Roundtable, brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Country Hills, where service is done right the first time without any hidden fees or unexpected costs. Book your appointment today at mbcountryhills.ca.
Moving into hour four on the big show on your Thursday afternoon. Welcome back to the program. My name is Will Nault. He is Peter Klein. And kicking off the fourth hour, like we always do, as Derek Wills joins the program to complete the Daily Flames Roundtable. Mr. Wills, how are we on this Thursday, sir?
I'm doing well. Actually, I'm doing better than well. I'm doing great. I got a haircut today, guys.
Wow.
I've never been so excited to get a haircut in my whole life.
Now, was it out of control? Like, what were we talking about here?
Yeah, I had quite a salad going. Like, Caesar salad with croutons, bacon, Parmesan cheese. Could have been any of that stuff in there. Yeah, that's the longest my hair has been in a very long time. So I feel, you know, 5 or 10 pounds lighter after my haircut. I feel good.
Well, then I know that you, just not judging by your reaction on Twitter, you were then followed by that with confusion as you watched Dan Campbell tell everyone that his players are going to chew kneecaps off.
Yeah, that was interesting, wasn't it?
It sure was.
Interesting's a word.
Yeah, that's certainly one way to put it. There's no question about it.
That's one game plan.
No doubt. Derek, I guess just first off, nothing has changed on the Dylan Dubé front, and maybe we can start there today because – you know, if Patty was on the program, I'd love to hear what his take was on this because he has been very adamant to not move Mangiapane away from Michael Backlund. He really likes what that duo can do. I'm not saying it's going to be this way on Sunday because we don't even know what Dubé's status is, but the fact he has not skated yet since Monday leads me to believe there's a very good chance he at least misses that game on Sunday. What do you make of Mangiapane getting a run with Lindholm and Tkachuk today at practice?
Yeah, I mean, if I had to guess, I would say there is at least a 50-50 chance that Dubé does not play against the Maple Leafs on Sunday afternoon. But again, that's a guess. Obviously, it would be great to see him return to the ice and practice with the team either tomorrow or Saturday because you've got a morning skate with the matinee matchup on Sunday. But as far as Andrew Mangiapane is concerned, I think in a perfect world where everybody is healthy, kind of like before Dylan Dubé got hurt a couple of nights ago, yeah, I would leave him right beside Michael Backlund. And who the third member of that line is, I think, could change depending on matchups, depending on who is playing well and who isn't playing well. But, you know, I like the duos the Flames have right now. So you've got Elias Lindholm and Matthew Tkachuk. You've got, of course, Sean Monahan and Johnny Gaudreau, who have combined to score more goals together than any duo in the NHL since the start of the 2014-2015 season. And I know a lot of people wanted the Flames to break them up, but I think they're starting to find their groove. It was good to see them play well, 5-on-5 in their last game. So leave those guys together. And then the third duo being Michael Backlund and Andrew Mangiapane. And, you know, there's been a lot of talk, certainly out of my mouth, about what the Flames are going to do on right wing. But I think having the stability of those three duos, and maybe even you add a fourth one with Derek Ryan and Milan Lucic, but, you know, having those duos as a starting point, I think is a great starting point for the Flames. But right now they're not living in a perfect world. Dubé's hurt, so that means you've got to move some bodies around. I think it really impacts how well you slot, to steal the term that my broadcast partner, Peter Labardius, loves to use. And as a result, you end up slotting Tkachuk from the left side to the right side, and you end up bumping Mangiapane from what I'll call the third line up to the left side of the first line. So, you know, hopefully Dubé is good to go for Sunday, but if he isn't, wouldn't be surprised at all to see Mangiapane in that spot. And, you know, he's a guy with the way he's played, fellas, who maybe deserves a little bit of a look on the first line.
And that is exactly where I'm at. I've liked how he's played in the first few games, and we know him and Matthew Tkachuk make sweet, sweet music together. So I think that that was the way to go with this switch, if Dylan Dubé is in fact out of the lineup for any period of time, whether it be Sunday or beyond. To Derek's point, like you would love to be able to keep all those pairs together, but the injuries care not for your plans. And I think when you look at how the rest of this lineup shakes down, I think moving Mangiapane there with Lindholm and Tkachuk, you trust Backlund with pretty well anyone. And him with Bennett and Levo, I think is a fine combination out there, Will. So I think to me, the way he has played this season, I do not disagree with the thought of moving Mangiapane to that, what we'll call top line for the Flames, at least in the short term with Dylan Dubé out.
Yeah, I think if you were looking at, I said it to you earlier, Pete, I think there was probably two options there. If Dubé misses time, you're probably going to put Bennett or Mangiapane in that spot. And to me, through the first little bit here of the season, I would say that Mangiapane has earned that more than Bennett has. Not to say that Sam couldn't be in that spot, but yeah, I do think that makes the most sense and certainly gives you a little bit more pop on that first line. And could maybe equal a little bit to what Dubé was bringing that group. So I do like the fit of Mangiapane, but there's no question, Derek, in an ideal world, he'd love to keep him with his buddy Michael Backlund.
Oh, there's no doubt. It gives you a much deeper lineup. It gives you three scoring lines. But I think that he's been the best of the bunch as far as, you know, the pack of players who you would consider promoting. And giving them a chance to play on the first line. Now, I'll add this, just to play devil's advocate. I think anybody you play with Elias Lindholm and Matthew Tkachuk will automatically be better. I think there are two players who make whoever their line mate is better. So if the Flames were to try a guy like Josh Levo in that spot or Dominic Simon, and that would mean moving Tkachuk back to the left and using one of those guys on the right, I could see them potentially going in that direction if they want to have a more balanced attack and leave that, I think, budding dynamic duo of Backlund and Mangiapane together. But, you know, Mangiapane is a guy who does all the little things right. His work ethic is outstanding, and I feel like I'm not even, you know, maybe giving him his due by saying that. I wish I could think of a better word because the guy just works so hard in practices and in games. He never cheats you with his work. And he's got an incredible skill set. And one thing I've really enjoyed kind of focusing on him in practices and in games this season, guys, is how hard he works without the puck, not only defensively, but offensively. If you watch him, he's always working to get to open ice. He's never standing still. He's never flat-footed. He's always trying to find the soft spots and giving his teammates an option for a pass. And, you know, we've seen his shot, I think, improve a lot over the last couple of years. And we're starting to see that become a weapon for him. So I'm a huge fan of Andrew Mangiapane, and I'm happy for the kid that he's getting a shot with Backlund right now, but with Lindholm and Tkachuk.
He is Derek Wills, radio voice of the Flames. He joins us every single day to kick off the 4 o'clock hour as a part of the Flames Roundtable. Peter Klein is on the roundtable today. My name is Will Nalton. Boys, again, it's only been three games, but the Flames have points in all three of those games. And Derek, they've got a fourth-ranked power play and a fifth-ranked penalty kill. Why have the special teams been such a massive success just three games into the season?
Well, I'll start with the penalty kill. Who is your most important penalty killer?
That would be the guy wearing goal equipment.
Yeah, your goalie. And Jacob Markstrom, I thought he was good, maybe even really good, stopping the puck, not so much playing the puck in the season opener versus the Jets, but maybe that had something to do with the puck. They've switched pucks because that tracking puck wasn't sliding the right way, so they've gone back to the old puck for the time being. So maybe it was that or bad ice or just getting used to new teammates. I'm not sure what it was for him against the Jets a couple of Thursdays ago. But, you know, beyond that, I think he's done an outstanding job for the Flames. Obviously, 5-on-5, he's been brilliant. But I think especially on the penalty kill, he's just so massive in that net. He's so technically sound, but he's also incredibly athletic. And if he has to go post to post, if he has to move quickly laterally, he can do it. He's just been brilliant. So I think that's where the penalty kill starts, but that isn't where it ends. Chris Tanev has been a massive addition on the Flames penalty kill. And that's what we expected from him. We expected him to be great defensively and to be a really important part of the PK. And he's been just that. I mean, you look at the 8 shots that he blocked in the first game against the Canucks and a number of those, I bet you, 4 or 5 or 6 of them were on the penalty kill. So he's been brilliant. And I just think that the Flames have the right personnel, certainly on the back end with guys like Chris Tanev and Mark Giordano. And you're seeing some younger guys get penalty kill time, including Yusuf Alamaki as well. But also up front, they've got some really good two-way forwards like Elias Lindholm and Michael Backlund. So you know, the penalty kill has been really good, thanks in large part to the goaltender and his former Canucks and current Flames teammate, the defenseman as well. And as far as the power play is concerned, now I was really anxious to see Rasmus Anderson quarterback in the first power play. He's just so much different than Erik Gustafsson was back there. And I really liked Gustafsson as the QB1 on the Flames' first power play because he really moved laterally very, very well along the blue line. is probably as good at deception and kind of looking guys off and faking shots or passes to get guys to freeze up or go in the wrong direction to open up shooting lanes and passing lanes. But he didn't have the heavy shot. And Jeff Ward talked about it during training camp. He wanted that threat from the top of the power play, and Rasmus Anderson certainly gives him that. I mean, the way he's been firing the puck, we were joking about it at practice today. I think it was Wes Gilbertson that brought it up, saying it's funny that his first goal of the year was one that came from about 190 feet and kind of bounced down the ice and into an empty net with the way he's been firing the puck, especially on the power play. So, you know, it's been fun to watch Rasmus Anderson at the top of that power play. And Johnny Gaudreau has kind of looked like him old self, his old self, at least in the PP this season, dancing around, really making life difficult for penalty killers, trying to stay in that box. So, you know, I think special teams is such a huge part of success in the NHL. So if you can have, you know, a power play and penalty kill percentage, then when you add them together, a total over 100, then you're doing pretty well. And the Flames are well above that 100 threshold right now.
Yeah, and obviously that's been a huge boost to this team as you're trying to work your way through the season. And I agree with everything that Willsey was saying there. And I think just to add a little bit to it, I think something that helps the penalty kill out a little bit is the familiarity with the opponents. And two of the three games coming against the Vancouver Canucks, Markstrom understands the tendencies, Tanev understands the tendencies. So that kind of helps them get ahead of the curve a little bit. Not that when they play Toronto on Sunday, Tanev's going to skate face first in the boards, not knowing what he's doing. Dude's going to be good on the penalty kill regardless of who he's playing. But I think early on, having that familiarity with what Vancouver was planning allowed him and Markstrom to kind of get set a little bit earlier than they normally would. And on the power play, something that we've been talking about this season early on is kind of that familiarity and how chemistry can help you early on in this season where we had no preseason games and where training camp was basically a hiccup. I think for the Flames, having four guys out there who have been out there on the power play for a couple of years, there's just that familiarity. There isn't that feeling out process that we saw with, say, for example, a Vancouver who had to spend the first little bit with no JT Miller. So I think the familiarity with especially that first power play unit, Will, has really helped them hit the ground running so far this year.
Yeah, it's been awesome. And we talked to Matt's agent about it yesterday, and I think he was kind of bang on in terms of the power play. You look at, yeah, I think that we can all agree around this table, and I don't know, maybe Derek, you're not in this category, but if I don't have to watch the power play come to center ice and drop it back to Gaudreau every time, I think I'd be okay. That's the one part that I would say maybe needs a little bit of a tweak, but the matter of the fact is the personnel on that first unit has now been together for a couple of seasons. The chemistry is unmatched. I know they haven't really even worked on it a ton in practice, which just speaks to that. And again, I think it works because Gaudreau is so talented, especially moving east to west to get guys away from him and create separation. But yeah, the drop back pass is something that was brought into the league about 15 years ago. And it's pretty easy to defend if you ask Matt Stajan, who spent a lot of time on a penalty kill. I do think that is one little tweak this team could look at going forward. But hey, when it's ranked fourth in the NHL, it's only been three games. I fully get that. And there's a lot that can change. But 37.5% is pretty darn good. And there's nothing really to complain about in the PK. I think it does speak to itself. Obviously, a nice job replacing some of the talent you lost on that penalty kill. But all in all, pretty pleased when your special teams, are combined about 130%. You're pretty much winning at all areas.
Yeah, yeah, and it's you're going to win way more games than you lose if your PP and PK are doing what the Flames power play and penalty kill have been doing to this point in the season. As for the drop pass, Will, I don't have a problem with it. I mean, there are probably only a handful of teams in the league that aren't using that drop pass to try to come through the neutral zone with speed. Now, some teams do it a little bit differently. Some guys have two options back there. One guy on the left side, one guy on the right side, which I think leaves maybe the team on the penalty kill guessing a little bit more as the team on the power play comes through the neutral zone. And the Flames have done that in the past, and they've done it effectively as well. But right now, the power play is working at almost 40%, so I have a hard time criticizing it at all. If it stops working, then we can maybe look at what's wrong with it. But right now, it's more about what's right with it. And just to kind of expand on what you guys were saying, you know, Glenn Gullitson, I think it was, used to say that the penalty kill is like math and the power play is like art. So, you know, the penalty kill, I'm not sure confidence is as important on the PK as it is in the PP. And right now, I think the Flames are full of confidence in the power play. And I think that probably carries over at least a little bit from the return to play when their power play was really good. But, you know, it's something that's clicked since the start of the season. And I think when your power play is working, it leads to confidence on the PP. But it also, I think, bleeds into your five-on-five play. And I think guys like Sean Monahan and Johnny Gaudreau are benefiting from that right now because they and their teammates are having success in the power play. They're feeling good about their games. They're getting their points and they're happy. They're getting wins and they're happy. So, you know, right now, special teams, I think it's as big a part of the Flames' success at this point in the season as anything else. Maybe the bigger than anything else, as a matter of fact.
Final topic on the roundtable today, Derek. It's been a week. Do you have any second guesses, any changes you'd like to make to maybe the preseason power rankings you gave across the North Division?
Really, where I'm a little hung up, and it's where I was kind of torn to start the season, is, you know, who's the fourth best team in the division? I still think that on paper, the Maple Leafs are the most talented team in the division. And I like the Flames' depth probably better than any team in the division. Then it gets a little less clear for me. I mean, the Canadiens, for me, are still the third best team in the division, even though they maybe haven't been as good defensively or in goal as I think they can be under Claude Julien with Carey Price. So for me, there's a top three, and then there's a bit of a drop-off. The Oilers have been Jekyll and Hyde. The Canucks have been Jekyll and Hyde. The Jets, you could say the same thing about them. So other than the Senators at the bottom, and like I said, in no particular order, the Maple Leafs, Flames, and Canadiens at the top, kind of the middle is murky for me, fellas. So for me, it comes down to probably the orders of the Canucks in that number four spot. I think the Jets could certainly put themselves into that conversation as well, but I'm not sure things have changed a lot for me in the last week or so. How about you guys?
For me, the one that kind of has me, I don't want to say changing, but just kind of second guessing where I was to begin with. I had Edmonton pretty high in this North Division. I thought that the changes they made, I thought they had a great offseason. I thought they did a really good job of adding to that forward depth where they desperately needed it. Obviously, the blue line still may be a bit of an issue, but I thought that the forward depth was going to be enough to help this team out. And then you watch the first game of the season and, oh, right, they don't defend at all. And while they've kind of tightened that up in some of the other games, this is still a team that has way too many defensive lapses in front of a wildly inconsistent goaltending tandem. So to me, I'm reevaluating where I thought Edmonton was because I thought there'd be a bit more of a step forward. Still time for there to be that step forward, Will, but I thought that it would look a little bit nicer than it has through five games so far for Edmonton.
Yeah, and I mean, these answers could be so different every single week. It's only a select games we've obviously got to choose from here, guys. But yeah, I think the one that I've got pause on too, Pete, would be the Oilers. It's only been five games. I fully understand that, but there's a lot of red flags there for me. It was a huge win for them last night, though, to keep Toronto only to a goal as well. It's got to do wonders for their confidence as a group. Lots can change, but I had them competing for the 2-3 spots, and I don't know if that's a realistic target for them. I think they're going to be in that tight battle for number four all year long, but it's going to be fun, and it's going to be tight. I think it's the one thing we can agree on. But, Derek, the one thing, too, and again, it's only been a week, but the fact that I think everybody and their dog had them ranked seventh by a mile, the Ottawa Senators are going to make some issues. They're going to cause some problems in this division all year long because, as we know, playing with house money is a dangerous game, and Ottawa's doing it all year long.
Yeah, and I think Pierre Dorion did a really nice job during the offseason, adding some nice pieces, obviously, through the draft. Had lots of draft capital and through free agency, and teams are going to take them lightly. I mean, you try to convince your players not to do it. You try to convince yourself not to do it if you're a player, but you know, I think it's just human nature, guys. Everybody looks at them as the seventh best team in the All-Canadian North Division, and I think for good reason. I see them that way as well, but doesn't mean they're going to be an easy out. So I think it's going to be just a ton of fun to watch this division. I don't think there's a ton to choose, certainly between the top six teams and on any given night, that seventh team. As far as just kind of circling back to what you guys were saying about the Oilers, I do have concerns about that team. They've got two of the best players in the world at forward, obviously, in Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl. But on defense, being without Oscar Klefbom is a huge blow. I think he's their best all-around defenseman Helps on the PP and on the PK, obviously, really solid 5-on-5. And now, with goaltending having already been a question mark to start the season, they've lost their 1B or their 1A guy in Mike Smith. And now it's all up to Mikko Koskinen to get the job done. And I just don't know, with their lack of depth on the blue line, if having adequate goaltending is going to be enough. And whether or not they get that, I think, is something that a lot of people are questioning right now. So, you know, for me, is much as some fans in Vancouver might be concerned about the Canucks goaltending tandem of Braden Holtby and Thatcher Demko, man, if I'm at Edmonton and I'm looking at my team without Mike Smith and, you know, thinking, well, now it's all up to Mikko Koskinen, at least for the time being, that for me is a bigger concern.
Derek, enjoy the rest of your Thursday. Go stare at yourself in the mirror in that brand new haircut for the next 9 hours, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
All right, sounds good, guys. Have a good night.
Daily Calgary Flames Roundtable, brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Country Hills. Browse photos and details to find the Mercedes-Benz that works for your lifestyle online at mbcountryhills.ca.